Bart, we are back for number 7, and we have
number 7.
Yep, we have our interview.
Yep.
From
this week, we're going to bring you one of the interviews from Minerva Monster Day that we talked about last week.
And I don't remember his name. Sorry.
You were
good. You had all the notes and stuff.
Yes, I've got all the notes here with me this time. Yeah, it was. His name is Peter Weimer. I don't remember if he was just the producer or the director of the film I've Seen Bigfoot.
I think he was like all the above.
Yeah, he did a lot with the film. And he put, like I said, I have one moment here and I can even see.
Because I know he does a lot of different stuff. He was talking about like the one he saw Bigfoot, like his story, and then with his movie, he went into like interviewing other people that have seen stuff and, you know, put that into a movie of different stories. But he does like expeditions, and they go and look for Bigfoot and things like that.
Yeah, he was the producer. He's one of three producers.
He's from wasn't it New York?
From New York, yes. He is from Chautauqua.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's how you say it. He's and that's what a lot of the sightings were from Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a few from around the United States and around Warren County, Pennsylvania. I'm looking at the website right now. I do not have this all memorized.
Oh, Bart. I would have figured you would have had it all memorized. But yeah, I liked his story where the people were able to tell what they saw, what had happened, which is nice. It was really good, and he did say that he is getting to make a second one, isn't it?
Yeah, because of the movie, and just the fact that he had so much that he couldn't put in the actual movie itself, like the first movie. He realized that he was going to have to do another movie at some point.
Yeah, because he had, foot casts or the track casts, and he had a whole bunch of other stuff there at his little area.
Yeah, and he even does one of the big things, and we talked about it in the interview. He has Bigfoot expeditions in Chautauqua County. For people to go, and it's only about, what does it say? They're about 30-minute expeditions or so, and it's just the drive through this area. The drive is about 30 minutes, but an afternoon expedition, it says, go between 2 and 4 hours. So you have plenty of time to, get yourself checked in at the cottages where the expeditions happen and go out on your hike and do your own expedition.
I think it sounds like a blast. I would like to do something like that. It's just, with you and I, it's like, when?
Yeah, when, and is there anything like that closer?
Actually, there is. I went on one a couple years ago. Where it was Salt Fork. They did a car caravan where everybody went from here to here. And then we would get out and they would tell what events happened. And then we'd go to another place and talk about other events that had happened. And that's not that far from us.
No.
But yeah, I like this. No, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but it does look like he does these expeditions. And I think that's where a lot of the people from the film came from. Is people who have done similar expeditions to this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it started being shown apparently at the 2013 Bigfoot expedition in Chautauqua Lake. And then it's been shown other places, including the Minerva Monster Day.
But yeah, I like that. Even if it wasn't actual Bigfoot that they did see something, it was. Because he had, the one for the Patterson film, he had him on there.
Yeah, it had the Patterson film and them talking about that. There was an interview with Bob Gimlin, who did that film.
Yeah, he's the only one left from that film.
Yeah,
that's the movie that started everything, it seems.
Well, that's where people suddenly it was footage that was actually that, you know, was shown to people, and it wasn't, I saw this, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was saying, he does have expedition weekends apparently it's at these cottages, Wiwanshu Cottages in Chautauqua County, New York. But at this time, there are currently only two more weekends where there's expeditions. It looks like the weekend of the 15th and the 23rd.
So he has...
And then... Go ahead.
I was going to say, he does other ones too, doesn't he?
Yeah, but currently right now, from what he's been advertising, these are what he has. And then the last weekend was the 23rd. He has a big Bigfoot expedition on the 22nd. So that, you know, goes into a lot more similar to what happened in Minerva.
He does, wasn't there some in the spring he does too?
Yes. It looks like he started these around April or May.
Which I find interesting about that is because, you know, they say, you know, with Bigfoot that they migrate, they travel a lot. I wonder which time of year they're most likely to see Bigfoot. Is it spring or is it fall?
It's hard to say.
It seems around here, a lot of times it seems the fall. Like right now, it's prime season for them, you know, to find stuff.
And it may depend on where you are, too.
True, true. Because I know the different, like, what was it? Because when I had asked him a question, which we'll hear in the interview, you know how, like, last week we were talking about some people, you know, the complete opposite. Like, some feel that the East Coast Bigfoot's very aggressive. Others feel it's the South that's aggressive. My favorite, I think it's hilarious, is, I'm going to say it, it's the tree huggers. You know, I think it's an animal. I don't think it's going to be like any other animal. Yeah, it's going to like free food. You stop giving it food, it's going to get upset and it's going to kill you. And if not you, somebody else. So, I mean, that's why it's bad, I think, to feed anything.
Any wildlife.
Exactly, because you don't know. You may think that it's the exact same animal, but it's a different one. You're going to get one, what was it? Someone was saying they could have a mental illness. So,
yeah,
you're going to get yourself a Bigfoot, you know, a 900-pound, 9-foot-tall Bigfoot that's mentally ill that's going to, like, I'm going to rip your head off because you didn't give me my right Snicker bar.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wise. Because... Was it him? One of them was saying, you know, bring granola bars and bring apples so you could throw them at them. I'm not throwing food at anything. I'm going to be videotaping it, and I'm going to have a bat to my back for a little bit of protection because I don't do guns, but I still think it's funny. But, I mean, I mean, it seemed like even with other predators, when it comes to food and stuff, the Bigfoots, I say is a predator, whatever it is, but... When they have plenty and abundance of food, they tend to be more, like, calm, relaxed. But when they're trying to get food, they tend to have very, very ill tempers, which would kind of make sense. If something is struggling for food, and if it sees you as a predator or sees you as squishy, easy catch food, is going to, you know, do what it's got to do.
If you were preventing it from getting food, you are automatically the bad one.
Exactly. I think that's why. And I know in Minerva and some of the other ones, they were talking about how, like, they're always killing the dogs and stuff. Well, dogs are, first off, basically it's a wolf. If you want to get to there, it's a wolf. But it's a predator.
Yeah.
So if a predator is competing with a predator, what do? You get the smaller predator, you get it out. You get rid of it. Because I know African lions will do that with, the African lions do that with, like, the little wild dogs. They'll kill them. They'll eat them. It's competition. They're going to get rid of competition. That and domesticated dogs, they, they're centuries. You know, that's what they're for. That's why when everyone, like, freaks out when their dogs bark, I'm like, that's what they're primarily, what they were for. They were for protection, whether, you know, back for hunting, but they were basically guard dogs while you slept, protected you and your family. That's what they're supposed to do. So obviously if you're going to have, like a German Shepherd or something like that, that's going to be chained up outside and it's going to see something that it knows danger, it's going to bark. It's going to alert us, but us as a society, well, us as a human, we're kind of stupid. So we don't listen to what the dog is saying or doing. So I think that that's what a lot of it is happening. I think that's what a lot of it is. So it's like, you know, it's going to kill the dog. It's going to take the other predator out, or the dog that is alerting anybody else around that there is something wrong, there's something here.
Exactly.
I don't think they're happy-go-lucky tree elves. I think that it's a predator and people are stupid. Hence, people disappear.
You can't just give it beef jerky and be done.
Exactly. Expect it to just growl at you. No, I think it will walk up and rip your head off. There's so many facets to this. You don't know.
You don't really know.
You know, another type of human where they're actually, you know, three types of human and not two? Because I know Native Americans always saw the Bigfoot as another tribe. But then you get into, what about the giants? The giant tribe that was primarily East Coast, Ohio, you know, the Serpent Mound, there was, you know, it's like, well, what, there's so many, like, we were talking about with Minerva, you know, how there's saving stories because people have passed on.
Yeah.
The events and stuff. We have lost so much history. It's sad and it's horrifying, but you know, the Native Americans, we've lost so much of their heritage, so much of their stories here before Europeans came over. It always makes you wonder, you know, did people travel back then, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years? Was there a world, you know, more than just like Egypt or all of that area? Was there more than just that? But or did people actually trade with the rest of the world?
Yeah, that's it. We know of what's been told.
Mm-hmm. Well, they always say that the winners are the ones that write the history books.
Exactly.
So we don't really know.
Don't know the other stories.
I think we're slowly starting to put the pieces together, but I'm always...
We're putting the pieces together from what we see.
Exactly.
And we're not seeing everything.
No.
Because a lot of the people who did see everything are no longer alive to say what they saw personally. So we're picking together, oh, well, somebody 20 years ago said they remembered this, while somebody else who is still alive, who did something completely different, says, well, you know what? This might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting together speculation with experiences that have been recorded and are sort of were loosely put together by other people not associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've got a documentary about someone born 1,000 years ago, edited by someone from a completely different generation who have never seen the outside world at all.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that's one reason why I like talking about cryptids. I like talking about Bigfoot. I like reading and listening, all the different science, you know, stuff about science and space and stuff, because it's unknown. You don't know. Nobody knows. I mean, they're finding stuff constantly. I mean, did you see the one earlier this week? Was it Japan, China? One of them, they found buried in some temple or whatever, but they were very, very old Roman coins.
Yes, I did see that.
That shouldn't have been there. You
and that they were still trying to figure out, are these real? Are they just props? What are they?
Exactly. Exactly, because there's just so much history that has been lost. I mean, it's sad. It's really, really sad. But we've said before, you know, when it comes to stuff like this, how many times has humans started over again? You know, you got the Great Flood. It wiped all the stuff away. And there's proof it happened. But, you know, what about everything else in between? I think when it comes to stuff like that in time, it's irrelevant. I think time is a modern concept. I don't think it was really big back then.
Well, that's it. It's just you have to look. You don't know. Like I said before, you don't know what happened. And I don't necessarily think it's a new time is a new concept. I think people just, okay, we are just going to keep doing this. You know, no, it was like, okay, we are going to die at some point. But that wasn't a big thought in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, okay, you know, I'm going to continue passing these stories along to generations. It's just as recreation, not as a way to preserve the stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, shall we get into our interview?
Yes, let's get into our interview with Peter Weimer.
We had a great conversation with him.
Yeah, and we'll get into that, and we will see you in a minute.
Yep, we'll see you in a minute.
And here we are at the Minerva Monster Fest. This is Bart.
And Vicky.
And we are here with Peter Weimer, correct? Okay. The executive producer of I've Seen Bigfoot.
That's right.
Lots of room.
Yeah, sorry. I'm distracted by the music in the background.
It's good stuff. Yeah, we're real happy to be here at the Minerva Monster Day. And we're proud that Seth invited us, and we created I've Seen Bigfoot. It's a documentary movie of eyewitnesses to Bigfoot sighting from New York, Pennsylvania, a couple from Ohio, and across the USA. And so I created the Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo 5 years ago as a tourism special event in Western New York. And since creating that, I'm up to 22 eyewitnesses from Chautauqua County.
Wow.
8 from Cattaraugus County and more than a dozen from Warren County, Pennsylvania that have contacted me and resolving themselves in knowing they've seen a Bigfoot but were afraid to admit it publicly for fear of ridicule. A couple of them have spoken at our Bigfoot conferences now, and so now they're on our movie as well as our video library, but it's wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Saving them, you know, saving the historic stories, I think, is a good thing.
It sure is. And I believe that we've figured out why the government, New York State, Ohio, will never acknowledge the existence of a Bigfoot. Because by acknowledging it, the Endangered Species Act of 1973 kicks in, and that they basically would have to shut down the forests. And then we'd have to import lumber from Canada, quadrupling the cost of building a home. Tank in the banking industry, putting people out of work. It's all about the economy and has nothing to do about reality.
Mm-hmm. It's always about money.
It is.
Everything's always about money.
I agree.
Because then they'll have to admit something that's actually there.
Right, right. And they can't admit it because I believe they're all over the Northeast. Anywhere there's woods, Montana, Oregon, California, any state that has thousands of acres of woods is prime habitat for a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm. Lots of deer. Because I know here in Ohio, it's a lot of deer.
A lot of deer, and that's going to be one of their primary foods. I think deer and anything smaller, coyotes, foxes, woodchucks, are all breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Farmers' pigs, putting them under their arm and running off with them.
Right. I mean, Doug Waller, who will be one of our speakers, he's from Southern Ohio, and they have pictures of a deer that, like, something tore out its kidney, and that's all it ate. Well, what other animal would just tear out part of its carcass?
Do you think that it got disrupted from eating, that it didn't get the chance to finish? Or what happened to the deer?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question, but I think maybe the Bigfoot just had a appetite for kidneys.
Which would be considered a high fat content too.
Yeah, maybe. It's pretty amazing stuff though. If it was a bear, they would have eaten the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or most of the thing.
They would have took it with them a lot
exactly,
of the time.
Exactly, yeah. It would definitely probably eat part there or carry the whole thing with them instead of eating it there out in the open.
Well, because I know earlier there was some women, they were talking among themselves and they were like, well, why can't we find any bodies? And I had piped up and said, well, especially here in Ohio, the ground is so acidic, you're not going to. Because I know, I forget what experiment they did, one with the deer, where they put it for, 2 weeks, and it was completely gone.
Oh, wow.
I think there was the only thing left was, like, maybe some teeth and maybe the hooves, but there's nothing left. Of course you're not going to find stuff.
I've heard that, too. I mean, every animal in the woods is going to come and you know, chomp on it.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them will be chomping on the bones, and some... or whatever insects will eat the rest. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's an amazing thing. It's just like the oceans. You have no idea what's in the ocean or how big a fish or...
Definitely not, no. There's still ancient, you know, dinosaurs that have evolved that are in the ocean that we haven't even seen. You know, we don't even know about. All we know about is what we've seen in this picture. It definitely doesn't look like this fish, but it might be something else. We just haven't identified it yet.
Right.
That's a lot of the stuff, like the, you know, back when, the glowing eyes of the ocean, it was monsters, and then now it's UFOs.
Right.
It's just what people don't know what it is what they put with what they understand what it is.
Yep.
You think that's the same thing with, like, Bigfoot?
I think so.
It could be a person, it could be a monster. I mean, nobody really knows until they actually physically have one.
Well, we...
physically identify it, you know, face to face.
There's been plenty of identifying of a Bigfoot, I believe. You know, there's been plenty of pictures and videos. And again, the doubters say, oh, that's not proof. The government will not acknowledge it, so they're not going to admit that it's real. Even though I've seen some pretty clear video on YouTube of a Bigfoot jumping over on another mountain. It wasn't that far away, but it was within... 1,000 yards, and it was crystal clear video.
Talking the one that came down the ridge?
Talking...
That was in open. There was absolutely nothing there, just walking down the ridge.
Yeah, no, it would have been... It looked like it was hopping over log piles and right at the top of a mountain peak, just on the next one over, and it wasn't really even a mountain peak. It was maybe a tall hill, but certainly nothing that the photographer could have moved across and been there... in short of 2 hours or something, you know.
Yeah, but by that point,
gone.
Yeah, it would have been gone.
And so I think, you know, I think there's obviously plenty of Bigfoot history from all the dozens and dozens of newspaper articles of eyewitnesses that go back to 1818.
Before they even knew what it was.
Yeah, history that I can't make up, history the government can't cover up because the newspapers printed them. Today, I think newspapers are a little more skeptical of printing it. I know in our hometown, the Post Journal, they won't print anything that pertains to my Bigfoot Expo hardly at all because they...
Not even in just the local events?
Like maybe, section. Barely. They had a... I did a Chautauqua County Profiles, where they let you write your own article if you buy an ad.
Oh, nice.
And I got to write my own article, or they could have written it for me.
Yeah.
But as I looked through the profiles, all these other businessmen wrote their own articles, but only on mine did they put a disclaimer on it. And they put my headline as the smallest headline in the whole piece, where everybody else got big, glorious headlines, and the disclaimer is, the newspaper was taking a stand that they are not real and that the opinion is of the advertiser. And they didn't put that disclaimer on anybody else's story. And so I am not advertising with them anymore.
No. Advertiser, you know, people, where the people that you want to come to your show are going to see it.
Right. Thank God for Facebook and other places like that. They can touch base there, and it's pennies on the dollar compared to what a newspaper charges us.
Most people don't even read newspapers anymore.
I know it. And if you get it online, you don't get the ads.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the, if you get the Post Journal app, which is one way you can circumvent their subscription service, but it's you can't see any ads. You can only read their stories that they want you to see.
Yeah, and so that's a good thing about this in age, being able to market yourself and do it your way.
Right.
And not have to worry about making other people
and I
do,
do
what
a
they
little,
want you to do.
I do a little advertising in the Penny Saver because mm-hmm. everybody gets the Penny Saver too.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do, or they it's a once a week newspaper mm-hmm. and you read it because it's got the local auctions and some other neat stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you, I know in your movie you said you've seen it. Have you heard any other? Have you been trying to find? Or are you going back to the same place?
I go by the place that I see it, you know, once every other week when I go get firewood.
Mm-hmm.
I look across the swamps whenever I can because I mm-hmm. believe that they live in the swamps. They hide in the swamps or they hide in caves in the gorge in our particular area. Mm-hmm. Now, here in Ohio, they might have caves in regular hills and stuff, mm-hmm. but in our area, we have only pretty much caves in the Chautauqua Gorge, and it's practically impossible to get to because you either walk the gorge along the creek,
mm-hmm.
because if you ever tried to enter it from the side, you'd have about a 900, 800-foot fall that's sheer.
Yeah.
And
it's very so similar here.
Is it?
Because there's been stories of, you know, people walking around at night and having something large come running out of, you know, the shallow swamplands chasing them.
Wow. I hear you. And again, no, none of us are going to be trudging through swamps and encountering snakes and other bad things that have nothing to do with Bigfoot, but have everything to do with ruining our day.
Yeah, I can't even handle going over a tiny hill if it means tripping over rocks, you know. So yeah, I'm not gonna go out into the deep depths of the forest. I got lost hiking the trail, so I'm definitely not gonna go out into the forest and then risk getting lost, not being able to get back to my car.
Nice, I hear ya.
But we eventually want to go Bigfooting because it's starting to get in the fall, and where we're from, there's a lot of what was it? We looked at it. It's like August to December. There's a lot more sightings in our area.
Wow.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they're moving. Because Cuyahoga Valley National Park, there's a lot.
Wow.
And it seems like a lot of them, once it starts to get colder, they start to come further down.
Wow.
But yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Exactly. And you mentioned that you do have Bigfoot expeditions and Bigfoot and the Bigfoot Expo.
Yep. We do expeditions out of our cottage resort up on Chautauqua Lake called We Want You. And if you're staying at We Want You any of those weekends, you can go on the expedition for free.
Oh, wonderful.
There's really no way to charge somebody off of the road that's camping somewhere else to go on an expedition because then I become very liable.
Yeah.
Even though I have everybody sign a waiver, the bottom line is to try to make a living renting cottages. And so we go to woods, state lands, in close proximity to the 22 eyewitnesses that have told me where they saw a Bigfoot.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it looks like your next one, you have several coming up here in October.
Yep.
October 8th, 9th, 15th, 16th, and 23rd. Yeah, that's all this on the sheet.
Yep, that's all right. We're hoping to, if you're staying at the cottages and you want to go on a Bigfoot hike, we'll go out to state lands or to private property that we have a relationship with that we know is pretty squatchy. And we'll go follow creeks or waterways. They got to drink a lot of water. So that's where we concentrate our effort in trying to find a footprint. Or maybe if we get lucky, a wood knock we do or rock knocks. A Native American Indian told me at the Cleveland show last year that Rock knocks mean you come in peace. Oh. And so I try to teach everybody, and always bring an apple with you or a Snickers bar, because God forbid you get lucky enough to see one. You can throw him or her some food and friend them. Then they won't be afraid of you. And throw something that you can throw, like an apple.
Yeah.
Maybe you can throw an apple 100 feet or 200 feet.
Have you run into any aggressive Bigfoots?
I have not.
No? Are they more towards, like, the south?
I don't know that. I've heard that. Somebody told me today here at the film festival that they feel the Bigfoots in Texas are more aggressive than they are up here. But I never heard that before. And so hopefully they're not. All of the eyewitness accounts that have spoken to me of never felt threatened.
Could that just be the amount of food? Like, up here, there's just more food available for them than it is down south?
I don't know. I think they don't want to be discovered, so they want to be as low impact to an area as possible. So they don't want to be threatening, or I don't believe they kill cows because they don't want to all of a sudden get the wrath of the farmer to have to go out and try to find out who's killing their cow.
Well, if you kill the cows, you're more out in the open too.
Right.
And if you're a creature that's trying to, you know, stay in the shadows and be on its own, going out into a farm and picking stuff up, foxes get caught. Right. So.
And I think the Bigfoot sits back and waits and jumps on an opportunity that comes by him.
Precisely. Yes.
You know, he's not going to really go. I think the people that are seeing them close to their home. I had a lady email me back in 2012, and I can't find it. They feed them dog food off the back 40 of their property. It butts up to state land. But then as soon as she wrote to me, she clammed right up and never reached out again because they don't want their backyard turned into a circus.
Definitely not, no.
You know? But if they were able to friend Bigfoots to the point where they're able to feed them a little bit, and I've heard that from another person here, that they leave them peanut butter jars, you know. It's interesting.
Do you think that they're more towards an animal, or do you think that it's like a lost tribe of humans, like a type of human?
I obviously believe they're a bipedal animal. I don't believe they're a human origin of any kind. I don't know.
Just an offshoot?
Just an offshoot. Maybe the great North American ape. Maybe great North American ape that I don't know if it would have ever bred with a human, even though there's pictures on YouTube that go back a century or two that shows possibly a crossbreeding with a human or whatever human they took a picture of looked like a Bigfoot human. But
see, that's with losing the history. You don't know. We have so little history that's been saved.
And Dr. Melba Ketchum there, she's done DNA history, and I believe she has DNA that has never been found before. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, since the government's not going to acknowledge them anyways, they're not going to do anything they can in presenting evidence to support a DNA from an animal that's never been documented before, because then they'd have to kick in that Endangered Species Act and then they'd have to shut down the woods.
But she did release, though, information on what she found, didn't she?
I believe she did. She's
constantly trying
to raise money to pay for that.
Right, because I think she had a paper released. I've heard about it, but I haven't had a chance to.
That's the bummer.
Trying to find it.
It's the bummer thing about it, since the government won't fund any research for it because they can't acknowledge it. And all this research is done privately, and and unless you got a person with a lot of money that can finance something like that, it becomes a burden. Mm-hmm. And I commend her and everybody else that puts their neck out on the line in a scientific or educational to risk their jobs at trying to bring the evidence forward. But
So with the advancements in technology, do you think we'll actually get down and find actually what it actually is, if it does exist?
If somebody can get some, I don't know.
Do you think it's going to take basically a body, like they did with the other species? It's going to take a body to find out what it actually is?
I think they got bodies. They had a roadkill, I believe I heard, last year or the year before in Pennsylvania. And then when they took it away, the people said, well, what happened to the Bigfoot? And the state people said, what Bigfoot? And so, you know, they're going to continually try to ignore the existence of it by either hiding it, or if they get a roadkill, they're just going to bury it. They're not going to acknowledge it, take pictures of it, tell the press, nothing.
Well, I think I heard that story. Didn't that make it to Facebook? Like, there was a pictures and some was a news report on that?
It could have been. I haven't seen it. If you see it, share it with me. My Facebook page is Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo or Peter Weimer. Mm-hmm. And
Bart and I are always reading so many different articles, and we're always sending stuff to each other all the time.
Yeah, it's some of those things where it's like, I'm looking at it, it's like, that's not real. Then there's other things like, okay, I want to know more, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it's one of those, like, I might not get to do my own research, but at some point, someone's got to do their own research on this.
Right.
You get stuff that you just cannot explain at all.
Right.
Well, it was nice talking to you, Peter.
Thank you so much.
And how can if anyone's interested in your movie and your expeditions, how can we get a hold of you?
I have seen Bigfoot.com is the easiest website to spell. Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo would be another one.
It's not so easy to spell
because people can't pronounce it well enough to even spell it. But since I've lived there almost my whole life, it's easy. But I have seen Bigfoot.com is probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Oh, wonderful. We will definitely post that on our Facebook page for people to find too.
Thank you.
As well as the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Vicky. And
I'm Bart.
And this is
Tales from the Darkness.
Well, we're back, and that was our interview.
We are back.
And we learned a lot that weekend.
We did.
With talking with him and some of the other people. I mean, it was a great, great weekend. If they do it again, I would like to go back and maybe even get a booth for us.
Definitely, definitely. Especially if the Oktoberfest is going to be the same weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
definitely, you know, get a lot of people in there. And, you know, more people, if they didn't come for the Monster Festival, they might come and, you know, still learn a lot.
I really did want to milk the goat, though. That would have been fun. But you're like, no, I don't want to go near it.
It was bad. My allergies were bad enough that weekend. I did not need to add hay and goat to the mix.
Or what else was there? There was llamas and ponies and dogs, and there was a ton of stuff. It was a good weekend. We're going to have to do more festivals like this.
But if anybody wants to know more, I don't remember if this was in our interview or not, but if anybody wants to know more about the film, you can go to ihaveseenbigfoot.com. I know he mentioned it earlier, and I will post that. And I just found the trailer for the film on YouTube, so I will definitely post that as well.
And then I'll put where you guys can find us. Same. You guys have stories. You know, it's October. We're seriously looking into, you know, doing more. We would like to do one every Tuesday this month. So if you have stories,
yeah,
ghost stories, anything creepy that happened, you know, any clowns, anything, hit us up. I'll have everything down in the show notes for you guys. Contact us. I know you've got some stuff to do. I do too.
Yes.
I will catch up with you later.
Yes. And everyone, have a good week.
Have a great week, guys. Bye, Bart. Bye, guys.
Bye.